the Fed had this ultra easy monetary policy and we had low rates and people just believed they were going to happen or keep going forever. Then when the Fed said, hey, inflation's ticking up and we saw it max out, what, around 9%, their official numbers, which we don't believe. None of these so-called experts in the commercial mortgage industry sat there and said, oh, this is not good.
Hello and welcome back to Soar Financially. This is an ad hoc episode. I have the chance to speak with the economic ninja. We'll be catching up with him because we last spoke in October and a lot has happened, of course, since then. We've had a number of Fed meetings. Latest one was just yesterday. But also I want to catch up with him on the real estate market. He's an expert on real estate mortgages, but also commercial real estate because we've been discussing it on this channel. It might be the commercial real estate market that breaks the camel's back here. So I'm really curious on where we stand. And that's why I've invited him. That's why I connected with him. He is in a park right now in California. So I'm really excited to have him join me here ad hoc. Ninja, it's great to see you again. Thanks so much for joining me.
Hey, Kai, thank you so much for having me on. I wouldn't say I'm necessarily an expert in commercial mortgages because it's actually funny. The things that a non-expert sees, yet the experts never see, and then all of a sudden they're collapsing, it just blows my mind.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, it's like hindsight is always 20/20, but nobody has foresight, right? I'm not even sure if you can have 20/20 foresight because it seems like the writing is on the wall and nobody's really paying attention to it.
Yeah, you know, let's talk about that. It's really interesting because commercial mortgages have to be refinanced or rewritten every so many years, usually on average about 5 years. And when the Federal Reserve, I mean, we've seen ultra low rates, obviously, since after the dot-com brought them down pretty significant, but really after the Great Recession, the Fed had this ultra easy monetary policy and we had low rates and people just believed they were going to happen or keep going forever. Then when the Fed said, hey, inflation's ticking up and we saw it max out, what, around 9%, their official numbers, which we don't believe. None of these so-called experts in the commercial mortgage industry sat there and said, oh, this is not good, when they started ticking those rates up, very similar to what they did in 2015 to 2018. Yet they just keep building things. And then you see big influencers like Grant Cardone sit there and say, you know, don't buy your own real estate, invest with me, you're a loser unless you're a millionaire. I just can't get over that theory, that concept. But never did he talk about, oh, this is going to be bad. Well, now bad things are happening to his business and so many others. And all of a sudden now they're all whining and blaming the Fed. And yet they're saying the Fed's going to lower rates. And even the Fed says, oh, it looks like we're going to lower rates this year. But what blows me away is there's never been a point in history, except for just a few, where it was politically motivated, where the Fed lowered rates just a little bit, other than when things are absolutely economically collapsing. And so a lot of people are like getting excited, especially gold traders, that rates are going to go down. Investors in real estate are excited that rates are going to go down, but they don't realize the only time rates go down are when things get really bad.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, that's why I don't get it. Like you brought up the finfluencers, and I think we talked about that in October as well. Like I've seen so many like Graham Stephan interviews, who I know you follow as well, or at least look at from time to time, right? And They're always talking about the Airbnb, like the economy to a degree as well. It's like, oh, just buy this and you'll have a 2-3% margin on it. Like return on investment, not margin, sorry. Return
2%.
On investment. Like I've seen those videos. So I was like, how is that possible, right? So I've seen those interviews he's done as well with some of those finfluencers. It was like, are you kidding me? He's like, how is this sustainable? And now, as you say, they're all complaining, right? So it's a house of cards.
Totally agree. You know, it's interesting about the 2% return or even 4%. You know you're in a bad market when your bond portfolio or your money market's doing better on a monthly basis as a return than your real estate holdings. And really what people buy real estate for, a lot of people talk about cash flow and how great it is. It's very small in comparison to what people really want, and that's the appreciation. When appreciation walks away, and it is right now in the higher tier price points of real estate, it's barely going up on the lower tiered price points, right? Like the midline or the average price. When that goes away, people start to bail, and that I think is going to happen pretty soon.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Like we've got housing start numbers this week as well, Travis. I'm not sure if you've been sort of following that. But I'm curious, like where does the confidence coming from? Is it just, you know, a head fake as well? Like why are people falling into that trap? Like why is there an urgency like to build now? Because they think the rates are going to be so much lower. Is that really just anticipation of lower, that much lower rates?
Oh man, that's a great question. So first off, builders are always builders. A lot of people, you know, when they have successful companies, it's because they've been grinding it out for a long time. And it's like, I just build homes, I build homes. And that's what I saw in 2006 when I was warning everybody around my hometown, and I was talking to builders, I was talking to real estate professionals, and they just didn't see it. Because they were head down. They had their blinders on like a horse, and they're like just swinging a hammer or signing contracts. And what happens is velocity slows down, and all of a sudden it just comes to a grinding halt. And we've seen that with construction before. We've seen it with real estate. And right now, people are building because money's still out there. But what people don't realize is these housing starts, that financing and the property that they're being built on was set up over a year ago. It takes that long. So another thing that's blowing me away is all of these. See, I've shared it before on my channel. New housing starts are nowhere near what they were in the run up to 2008. However, multifamily starts, which are properties that are 5 units or more, since the year 2010, make the run up of 08 with single family look like a joke. So what does that mean? First off, there are more places to live, either to rent or buy, in America than there were in 2008. So this whole idea of a housing shortage is a joke, unless you bring in the migrant crisis. That's a whole new thing, right? We are printing $1 trillion every 100 days now. And I believe that later this year, we're going to see $1 trillion in a month just to keep this Ponzi scheme going. But we all know, especially the gold traders know, the bond market's finally starting to wake up to this, that you can't do this forever. So my thing is, you start looking at these housing starts, and people, all they see is they're mesmerized with houses went up another 1% this month. You're like, who cares? I mean, look at the velocity of transactions. The amount of people buying homes in America right now are at pretty historic lows. And that's what people need to wake up to. That exact same scenario played out in 2006, where you still had this very small group of people that were late to the show that said, I guess I believe what my agent says, that if I don't buy now, I'm never going to be able to buy. But that's actually not true. The government is so screwed with these housing numbers. They're going, hey, if you have bad credit, we'll make sure you get the loan. Housing companies, oh, if you can't afford this house, we'll buy down your rate. We'll give you a $50,000 in upgrades for free. That's actually signs of a weakening housing market, actually a collapsing housing market. Companies don't like giving discounts. Like the Fed, they don't like giving 0% interest rates. They love charging you money and taking from you. So
Absolutely.
that's what people are missing, I think.
Yeah. Didn't Biden announce last week or so that he wants to give a new home buyers a $10,000 sort of as a startup, like to fund the down payment? Isn't that
Yep,
something I've read?
exactly right. So states like California have 0% interest-free loans right now for 20%. Now, California is going to own a 20% stake in the profit or loss when it's sold. But then it moved into the federal government. You're right. Biden set out there and go, hey, let's encourage people to buy homes. That means things are bad, right? So they're giving you a $10,000 credit. Well, there's now another state trying to propose a $15,000 first-time home buyer credit. So, because I don't think the press was good enough on that 10,000. So these are all signs that everything's weakening. Now, something that blows me away about real estate is people, they're so impatient. Like, you said that this is going to happen. I'm like, yeah. And I've told you, I started selling my homes in mid-05, and the public didn't figure it out till the end of 08. So cycles take a long time. And the earlier you are to preparing for those cycles, the more money you're going to have in the bank when this whole thing goes down. I mean, look at the gold traders. We've been talking about gold going up for quite some time. It's now starting to move up, but it's nowhere near its inflation-adjusted high. And it's only moving up because they're getting ready for the Fed to lower rates. I would argue that the Fed has to keep rates at least where they are or go higher, because how in the world is the government going to be able to sell any bonds to China, Japan, any of these countries at all, because they're not showing up anymore unless they give them a rate of return? See, that's the thing. We have enjoyed ultra low monetary policy, ultra low interest rates at the cost of the destruction of our own currency. So now it's all coming to roost, and that's what people don't get. So the Fed knows we're screwed. And if the Fed loses confidence, they don't care about the American people. They care about the other central banks that they're competing with for the head central bank position. And right now, Russia and China and BRICS are building a central bank that's going to blow them out of the water. Why? because it's going to be tied to gold, and they're going to sort of reset that system, and then eventually they'll destroy it just like we did, and just like Britain did before us. You know, it's wash, rinse, repeat. But these cycles are super big and super long, and that's where people need to wake up and not care about the housing price today. Think about the housing price in 2 years from now with these rates. This is exactly what happened in 2005 when the Fed was raising rates in 2003. But this one is so much bigger, so much more impactful. And what's really exciting is, like Jerome Powell said in September or August, we may not even have to raise rates at all because the bond market's doing it for us. Because this is what it means. People are fed up with the rate of return they're getting for their 10-year bonds or 30-year bonds. They're saying, we want more money. So since the government and other companies, most of our companies in our country are insolvent, meaning they have to continually sell stock, sell bonds to raise money. That's how our IRS system is built, right? To always run super tight and always on debt, this debt system. That means rates are going to go up independently of what the Fed talks about. So I think this is going to be one of the greatest opportunities in our life as we see the bond market melt up.
Absolutely. Still kicking myself for not buying a house in Las Vegas with a friend back then when you mentioned it. I think it was like $200,000, $250,000 for a really nice 3-4 bedroom house. I forgot what it was, but it was dirt cheap back then.
But right? Here's the thing. This is what you're, so that was a while ago, right? But look at now, what is it? Inventory has increased in Las Vegas in the last year and a half over tenfold. There's high prices. They ain't selling. So the super cheap homes are selling. So if you would have bought that house for $250,000 and you have it and it's worth $500,000 or $600,000 right now, and you go to put it on the market and it doesn't sell, what do you have to do? You have to drop the price after a few months. You got to drop the price again until true price discovery comes in. And honestly, there isn't real true price discovery right now, because now we are back to loans, mortgages, where you don't need any income verification. I'll tell you what, I've got someone in one of my groups that is getting a loan on a home that they really want, and they don't want to be stopped. And they did no income verification at 10% interest.
Wow.
You know, I guess if you really want the property that bad, but we're coming back into ninja loans. And if people are watching carefully, you're going to start seeing pay option arms. And because adjustable rate mortgages are on the terror again, because people, the last few that jump into a market, they're always doing it with a bad mindset. You know, they're impatient and they're going to just dive in. So we haven't even seen true price discovery until the banks pull back on their lending. When's that going to happen? It's when all of a sudden the Fed's not there to bail them out. Well, that actually started about a week and a half ago.
Absolutely. No, Ninja, you have a really active community. You know, I was just watching one of your live videos as well. And I'm curious, like, what is one of the most commonly discussed topics right now amongst your community? We talked real estate, so let's leave that one out. But what is another topic that is highly debated right now and is on top of people's minds?
Untrust for the government. That's really what it comes down to. People really know they're being straight up lied to when it comes to government statistics or numbers. They do not trust the current administration. They are very concerned about what's coming during the election, which I have to agree I am too. And this migrant crisis, this is absolutely a tragedy, but you've seen it where you are. And it's really Western worlds that are being invaded right now. It's almost like it's a plan.
I was just at the train station in downtown Frankfurt earlier today for some lunch, and exactly what you've described. So scary times. Yeah. Absolutely. Ninja, I know you have a hard cut off here in a second. Anything else we need to discuss in terms of the Fed? We had that big Fed decision yesterday. Anything else you took away from it? Anything that that might have some immediate impact here?
No, you know, actually, I didn't even watch it. I didn't watch it on purpose. And this is why I get the little clips that the news loves to run out there and shove hopium up everyone's tailpipe. And the hopium from the Fed meeting the other day was that they look like it could happen. We're going to get these rate cuts. Well, this is what I believe is going to happen. Four times since 1972, the Fed has run rates up really high. And then they drop them very small. On average, if I remember right, it was like a 15 or 20% drop in the if you measured the beginning of the rate hiking cycle to that peak, they dropped it about 15, 20%. And then they moonshot it another 30 to 40%. And this is why. In the last, since 1972, we've had a handful of bouts of inflation where the Fed has to get on top of, but it was during, ironically, an election cycle. And they dropped them a little bit. It always made it look like everything's good, everything's great. And then the data comes in 3 to 6 months later from companies going, were now charging more because people dove into the markets. They speculated, right? And with all the technology we see now compared to the 70s and the 80s, that irrational exuberance is going to take off even faster, as Greenspan put it so eloquently. Because people, you know, when interest rates drop a little bit, you see people dive into refinance, or you see them dive into new debt, right? And they think this is the beginning of the drop. It's not going to do anything to do anything at all, because even if the Fed drops rates and the bond market comes down, there are people that are still nervous because that next inflation report is going to come out. And they all know in their gut, they go, I know if you drop rates, people are going to speculate and it's going to drive prices up. It's what we know, especially right in the beginning of that cycle, that drop. So then they're going to go up higher. And I have been saying for quite some time that the next cycle, which we are already in, will take mortgages well into the high double digits. So we're talking like 18, 19%. We are going to repeat 1980. And that is going to be the greatest time to buy real estate, because people still need to sell their homes. People are passing away. People are moving. They're losing their jobs, or they're getting new jobs. And then what you do is you buy at the high with the minimal amount down. You finance it, only buying properties that will ink you out a cash flow. When we want to talk 2 or 3%, make 2 or 3% positive cash flow with a good amount in a savings account, you know, for an emergency, but know that you did it with the bare minimum down at 18% when the Fed starts lowering rates. And then watch what happens as you start the refinance cycle. It's amazing. It's what I did in 2001. That's how I made my money when I was young. And I can't wait for it to happen again.
No, fantastic. Ninja, I know you got a hard cut off here.
Yeah, I got
you. You have a newsletter. Talk about it.
I do. So, you know, the only reason we started it was because there's so much sort of censorship out there. It's crazy. And so what we did was we started a newsletter to highlight the videos that we do every day. There are some, I can start putting some articles on there that I can share that other platforms wouldn't want us to share. And then just really talking about what's going on in the world and just giving a synopsis of the daily events or the weekly events. And it's been amazing so far. And we're going to start doing some live AMAs, you know, talking about crypto, because this crypto run is about to be so explosive, people's faces will be melted off, but a lot of people are going to lose money because it's actually sort of a trap. So there's a way to make money from it and that's what we're going to start sharing, stuff like that. And then we're going to move into the commercial real estate side of it this summer.
Fantastic. Awesome. Thanks. Ninja, thank you so much for your time. Great catching up with you here on the fly. Really appreciate it. And everybody else, thank you so much for tuning in. Let's call this a Friday special, because I'll be putting out this out on a Friday. Really appreciate you joining in. A bit of a, you know, like on the fly, quick, fast, snappy conversation here with the Economic Ninja. I hope you got something out.